This is the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Now when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now, draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. For the joy of Christ. I think we've all had that experience of being at a party you don't really want to be at. I kind of picture this wedding in that way, at least from Jesus' tone that I hear coming through towards his mother. This is the kind of party that Jesus has been invited to, but maybe it's like a family acquaintance, not someone he knows very well. He's like, "Oh, do I have to go?" And his mom says, "Yes, you have to go." And so he says, "Well, can I bring a friend?" His mom says, "Fine." Kind of just like my teenage niece at Christmas this year. We went to California to visit them over the holidays, and we gathered for our New Year's Eve party, which for that side of the family was also our Christmas party. My niece, who's now a teenager, full-grown teenager, full-blown teenager, had a friend come over. And she mixed with us as family and shared a few pleasantries and then was like, "All right, Mom, can we go?" Jesus has some new friends that he's brought to this party. And here he's probably wondering, "Oh, finally, now the wine's gone, now we can go home." And his mom says, "Jesus, they have no wine." In this, a request. And he says, "Well, what does that matter to me or to you?" Now, up until now, everything in this story has gone about as expected. It's normal. It's human. We know this experience. Maybe you've experienced it in your own holiday family festivities or in your own life as you think about parties and gatherings that you've been at. Everything's going as expected. And it does seem a frivolous thing for Jesus to show forth some holy power. It's just wine. And they're already drunk. What do they need more for? But Mom says, but Jesus wonders, "Don't I have more serious things to worry about? I've got other things that are ahead of me." Because in the Gospel of John, we see a Jesus who knows what's ahead. We see a Jesus who is fully united with that divine aspect of himself. He knows what's going on. He takes it on straight ahead. And indeed, as we go throughout the Gospel of John, we will never see him do something as frivolous as create more wine for a party again. The remaining miracles that are talked about in the Gospel of John involve things like healing a dying child. What could be more important than easing the suffering of children? Or healing a paralyzed man that his friends have brought and lowered down through the roof of the house that he's in? Or feeding 5,000 hungry people who are out in the wilderness aching and hurting? Or walking on water? Now there's a show of divine power. Or giving sight to a man who's been blind since birth. Or raising Lazarus from the dead. Not to mention his own cross, which stands at the end of this life, that's coming quickly, and the harrowing of hell that Jesus will face as he descends to the dead. Beyond that, in stories that are too wonderful and supernatural to tell. Doesn't he have more serious things to worry about than wine at a party? That already had wine, and they drank it all. Life indeed has many challenges for us. Many challenges that feel really, really important. Challenges like the challenges of caring for children. My day-to-day life is full of those challenges. Some of yours are too. The care for children and for our youngest people is one of the most sacred things that we do. But there's also other challenges, challenges of just getting through our daily lives, making sure we can move about, or gathering enough resources so that we can feed ourselves or provide for our families, or dealing with the natural environment when it's, especially on days like today, when it's so cold. And the weather is so harsh. We see wildfires burning. Certainly these are challenges worth God's attention. Challenges like seeing our complex and convoluted world clearly, and being able to understand to lay hold of the truth in an age when the truth seems up for grabs by the powerful. Challenges like facing death and the grief of lost loved ones. These are certainly heavy, heavy challenges. And when we face big challenges like this, oftentimes celebrating feels out of place. You don't feel like celebrating. You don't feel like having a party. It feels wrong. It feels sanctimonious or blasphemous. It feels mismatched to the task at hand. And indeed, Jesus says, "What business is that of mine?" Maybe you wonder that too. But then Jesus' mom says, well, just do whatever he tells you, and the story takes a turn. See, standing there were some water jars for purification, and Jesus lets his complaints, his resistance, go, and begins giving direction. There's 150 gallons worth there, perhaps. Water to be poured in. That's enough water that it would take me over an hour of standing at my kitchen sink filling up jars to fill. That's a lot of water. It's a lot of wine. And the servants begin following his words, and soon the steward is tasting this water that has become wine and wondering, where has this come from? So what happened here? Was there a change of heart? by Jesus? Did he look around the party and see those family, friends beginning to disperse? Maybe he thought, okay, well, maybe this can go on a bit longer. Maybe there are some connections yet to be made here. Maybe this celebration is not quite complete. What happened? Was it acquiescing to his mom? To his mom who said a word and Jesus said, I know that look. I'm going to follow her. But whatever it is, in this moment, he gives a gift to this community of purifying water that has become better than the finest wine, than even the best that the steward has tasted. And in this event, in this miracle, in this sign, Jesus reminds us, as his mother reminded him, of what the point of all of this really is. The why. The why of caring for children, or caring for the paralytic, or feeding the hungry, or showing strength over the natural forces, or even over death. Why do we do any of this? It's for joy. It's for joy. It's for the joy that is a celebration of relationship and human connection. It's for the joy of it. It's for the joy of this present moment. What's happening right now, not what's to come down the road, not the challenges that lie ahead or the victories, but for what's happening right now in this moment. Sometimes this moment's problems are simple, even if the ones to come are less so, and that there can be a joy in overcoming the small things of this moment, even before the big ones come. It's joy in being able to do the small things as well as the big ones. It's joy. It's a joy that Mary knew when she went to Jesus and said, hey, help us out. There's no wine here. It's a joy that Mary knew that there was in this man a power to bring such joy into someone's life that it could change the whole situation. A joy that she knew in her body. In her body, that joy that came when she was overcome by the Spirit and brought him to life. A joy that came as she watched over him as the shepherds came and then the magi came. A joy that she treasured in her heart and held on to throughout her life. A joy that there is something about this boy that just makes life so worth it. It's a joy that is the joy of Christ. It's a joy that is the joy that Jesus feels. A joy that is the joy of Jesus himself. I have to think that in this moment, as he was standing there, as his mother said to those servants, do whatever he tells you, and the servants show up and they stand next to him and say, okay, what would you have us do? And he gives them some strange instructions. Go get a lot of water. Now, gathering water is heavy, hard work. Water is heavy. I don't know if you've ever had to carry a bunch of water. I mean, most of the time these days, the most water I carry is in a gallon of milk. But I know I've carried buckets of water before. And indeed, this, what was in store for these servants, it wasn't a simple task of turning a hose on and filling it up. They had to carry these stone jars to the well. They had to draw the water up from the springs below. They had to fill them up. Over 100 gallons of them. And yet they did it. They did it without questioning. They did it without asking, without explanation. It might not have made sense, but they did it. And in doing so, they were doing what was best for themselves and for the community. And what joy there is in Jesus when we do the thing that is the best for ourselves. The joy of Jesus, the commands of God, are words that we are to follow so that we might live into our best lives, into the best versions of our lives, into the best and richest moments of them. And it brings God such joy when we listen and we set aside all of the distractions and the missteps. It's joy. It's a joy that comes from Jesus to us as well as we follow and endeavor to navigate our lives with Him as our guide. It's joy. That's the why of it all. It's that surprising and unexpected and abundant and unearned and simple but refined, unexplainable joy. This is the joy that's not the cheap swill that influenced nights of poor decisions in my college years, but the rich, knock you back into elation and wonder at a sip, joy. The steward takes a slight sip, and his eyes open and then close in enjoyment of that taste. Oh, this is fine. So fine that he needs an explanation of where it's come from. He turns to the bridegroom, says, "Oh, this is amazing." He is astounded. It's joy. Joy in this moment of celebration and human connection that is happening here at this wedding, which was a whole community affair. Sometimes we don't think we deserve joy or that life is too serious for it. I'll never forget the first time I attended the Cure SMA conference, a conference for people and their loved ones who are dealing with spinal muscular atrophy. And one of the things that I was astounded by was not just how much fun I had and the joy that I felt being there, because I had reason to feel joy. My son had received a treatment. He was healthy. But the joy also that I witnessed in the lives of people and on the faces of people coming together for connection that led very difficult lives. Lives where they didn't have a lot of function in their bodies, where they were confined to wheelchairs or had tracheotomies and needed breathing assist machines or needed treatments throughout the day just to keep them alive. But the joy that they had in coming together and just connecting as human beings and people, celebrating and mixing. There were singles mixers and parties and dances, wheelchair dances, that they would swirl around in their power chairs around one another. Races against the doctors that they found such joy and delight in, making the doctors run as their power wheelchairs zoomed around the room. There's joy just in those simple moments of human connection and celebration, even when life is hard. Maybe especially when life is hard. That's when we need that joy the most. There's tough things ahead in our life. There's tough things ahead for our country. There's tough things ahead for our community. There's always tough things. But let's never forget what it's all for. The joy. It's what we're made for. The joy of Christ. Amen.